Amen. Well, guys, we're going to have a fun night, as you can see already, just worshiping our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and remembering the price that he paid on our behalf. So it's going to be good. You guys can take your seats right there. We're going to jump into God's Word. Asher, will you help me right there? Bring the Bible to... I got excited. And the communion as well. I'm supposed to bring that up with me as I came. Amen. Well, welcome everyone to our Good Friday celebration here at Coastline. And I just want to say before we jump into God's Word, what an honor it is. What an honor and privilege it is to be here. As I was just thinking this week of any service that I've ever had the privilege of preaching in, this one just is above all. It's unlike any other service that I've ever been able to communicate and preach before, preach God's Word. And how special of a night to remember the night that Jesus Christ went to the cross for us. And so it's an honor and privilege. Thank you, Pastor Aaron, for allowing me to speak tonight. And I just wanted to say, as I was walking around and seeing all of our dream teamers and coming up on Easter, can we just give a hand to all of the dream teamers? Amazing. Thank you guys so much. I know this weekend is going to be a powerful weekend for us, and we're going to see God's love poured out into so many people, and it's going to happen through all of us together, doing that work together. So as we get into the Word tonight, I want to look at Matthew chapter 26, verse 27 and 28. It says this, "And when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins.'" For the forgiveness of sins. Last night, we got the honor to have Pastor Jeffrey Cohen here with us. How many of you here were here last night? Amazing, amazing night just to walk through the Seder dinner and to see Jesus in every aspect and element of that. It was a special night. And one of the things that he pointed out that really stuck out to me was sharing in Jesus' unleavenedness. So when Jesus took the bread, he actually took the bread that didn't have any leaven in it, and it had been prepared. And so when he told his disciples, "You're taking part, when you take this, eat of my body, do this in remembrance of me," he said, "Take and eat this. Take on my unleavenedness, my pureness, my wholeness." The body of Jesus was without blemish. It was perfect. He was the perfect lamb, spotless lamb. He had no sickness in his body. He had no fatigue in his body. You know, normal tiredness, yes, you know, walking from doing ministry. He had normal tiredness, but fatigue, sickness, disease, none of that was in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's body. He had a perfect, spotless body. Because there's life, there's health in the body of Jesus. Amen? And the Bible says, talks about discerning this, discerning the body of Jesus, discerning that he had no sickness. He was a perfect, perfect body. It was a healthy body that carried our sicknesses and carried our disease. And tonight, whenever we take communion together, I just want to challenge your faith, to release your faith that Jesus Christ's body was perfect. And when we take part in this bread together, we're taking part in the perfect, spotless, unblemished, healthy body of Jesus Christ. Amen? But tonight, just in the few moments that I have, I want to talk about the cup. I want to talk about the blood of Jesus. I want to talk about the blood of Jesus. Jesus said, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." And the Bible also says that almost all things of the law are purged with the blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. There is no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. Think about it. Moses, even going into the tabernacle, sprinkle blood on the scroll, sprinkle blood on the altar. Everything, even all things in the law, were purged by the blood. And so without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And even Adam and Eve, think about this. Adam and Eve, when they sinned, What did Jesus do? He came and he covered them with coats of skin. He covered them with coats of skin. He took a lamb, a perfect lamb, and clothed them with coats of skin. Because it had to be the innocent for the guilty. It had to be a lamb that was sacrificed. And this was a picture of Jesus. A picture of Jesus who went to the cross for us. Think about this. When someone pays your debt, if you have a large sum of money that you're in debt, and someone comes and says, I'm going to pay this entire debt, you wouldn't go in front of that person or around that person the next time and say, you know, and act as if that debt was not paid, or act as if the debt was still there, or as if this person hadn't paid your debt. No, that would be an insult to that person, right? Right? And so in the same way, the shedding of blood is not for the consciousness of sins. So when we come to take the cup in just a moment, it's not about the consciousness of sins, because Jesus said, this is my blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. That debt has been paid completely. Amen. Amen. That debt is paid completely. It's the remission of sins. It's not the consciousness of sins. That Jesus Christ went to the cross for us. So Adam and Eve had two sons, right? One Cain and one Abel. Cain and Abel. And for some reason, Cain, he refused to bring the offering, to bring the sacrifice that God required, that God prescribed. He said, by the shedding of blood, there's forgiveness of sins. And so Cain, he refused to bring that offering. He brought vegetable offering. But Abel, as we know, he brought a perfect lamb. He brought a lamb before God. He brought an innocent lamb. And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking this week, God, how many times have I been that Cain? Coming to God in my own way, with my own works. God, notice me. God, this is good. How about this? Notice this, God. But in the whole time, God just wanted me to notice his son at the cross who had paid it all, that all sin was paid for. That my way to God was paid for by Jesus. Jesus was the bridge. He opened the way for me to come to the Father. And I said, man, God, I've been right there with where Cain was. And I thought, man, I don't want to miss tonight where you paid it all and I still come saying, notice me for my works. Notice me for my good deeds. I want to say, Jesus, it is all about you, and you paid once and for all. It was the remission of sins. Because of the blood of Jesus, all sin was paid for. God's way is by blood. It takes innocent blood to forgive sins. So Cain brought the vegetable offering. Abel, he came to God with a perfect lamb. Once again, a picture of Jesus Christ on the cross. Picture of Jesus. And when you see all of these offerings, all of these sacrifices in the Old Testament, it's like a credit card, right? How many of you know when you charge something to that credit card, that is not a payment? That's not payment. So all of these offerings and all of these sacrifices in the Old Testament that we see, the Bible calls them atonement, which means it's a covering. I'm just going to cover that until the real sacrifice comes. Come on. The real sacrifice comes. Jesus Christ was that perfect lamb. He was that sacrifice. He was that blood offering for once and for all to cover sins. Come on, come on. Hey, we got to do this together. We got to do this together. Come on. Listen to this. Listen to this. God is outside of time. Amen. God is outside of time. So that sacrifice that he made for us 2,000 years ago, guess what? It applies past, present, and future. That was the sin offering. That was the once and for all offering that covered. That was the remission of sins once and for all. So there's no longer, there was a sacrifice for Adam and Eve's sin, there was a sacrifice for Abel's sin, and on and on and on through the Old Testament. It's like a credit card. But praise God that that credit card has been paid in Jesus, in Jesus. Come on. So God looked at favor with Abel. I'm getting somewhere with this. You're like, Josh, where are you going with this? God looked with favor at Abel's sacrifice. Then Cain came in jealousy, and we know how that went. Cain killed his brother Abel. He killed his brother Abel. And this is what I want to point out for to you. There's a law of first mention. Pastor Aaron has taught us that the law of first mention in the Bible, that if when something is mentioned for the first time in the Bible, there's importance there, there's significance. And so look at this, Genesis chapter 4, verse 10. It's not the first time that blood was shed. Adam and Eve had blood shed and they were covered with coats, but it's the first time that blood is mentioned in the Bible. Look at this. He said, "What have you done?" God says to Cain. "The voice," everybody says, say voice. "The voice of your brother's blood is crying out to me." So right here, the first time that blood is mentioned in the Bible, God says that it has a voice. Blood has a voice. Blood has a voice. And listen, modern science would tell us that, yes, okay, Josh, blood has a voice, DNA. If there's blood at a crime scene, that will lead us to the criminal, that will lead us to the murderer, whoever it is. But much more than that, blood has a spiritual voice. Blood has a spiritual voice. Look at this in Hebrews chapter 12. Don't put the verse up just yet. In Hebrews chapter 12, the author of Hebrews says, you have come, you haven't come to the mountain of Sinai where the Ten Commandments were given, where the law was given. You haven't come here to where it was darkness and destruction and lightning and all of these things where someone touches the mountain and they die. You haven't come here. Here's where you've come to. You've come to Mount Zion. You've come to the city of God. So it's Mount Zion. He paints this picture of Mount Sinai versus Zion, the old covenant versus the new covenant of grace, of receiving something that we haven't earned. It's freely given by grace from our Father. It's fear, Mount Sinai, versus joy. The joy set before Jesus, he endured the pain. It's punishment versus payment. Jesus has paid it all. Once and for all, it was paid in full. So we've come here, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood. Isn't that interesting that Jesus and his blood mentioned separately? I thought about communion. We're going to partake in the body, the perfect body of Jesus Christ, and the blood, the forgiveness, the remission of our sins, which speaks, put the verse back up. Everyone say, speaks a better word. It speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. The blood of Jesus speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Come on, what do you think the blood of Abel spoke? Vengeance, right? Vengeance. But what does the blood of Jesus speak? It speaks mercy. Come on, it cries out forgiveness. It cries out reconciliation. It cries out blessings on your family. It cries out healing for your body. It cries out peace for your mind. It cries out salvation. Mind, soul, and body. This is what the blood of Jesus cries out. The Bible says that the life of the body is in the blood. So what do we need today? We need the blood. We need the blood of Jesus. Many people may ask, Josh, is it biblical? Pastor Aaron, is it biblical to pray the blood of Jesus on things? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because look at this. Colossians, I'll close here and we'll worship and we'll take communion together. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Reconciliation. Reconciliation. Cover with the blood. So if part of our body is hurting, part of our body is lacking in some area, the blood of Jesus. I pray the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus over that area. Your son or daughter goes to school, the blood of Jesus over them as they leave the house. Your car, as you get in and in the morning, the blood of Jesus over this car. You get into a plane to go to a business trip, the blood of Jesus on that plane. Now you may be thinking, Josh, that's kind of strange. The Bible says that, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace, peace by the blood of Jesus. Incident free. Because guess what? With the curse, with the fall, came accidents, came sickness, disease, trouble. The blood of Jesus, it reconciles all things. And as I was thinking, I'll close with this, meaning the cover it with the blood and it is reconciled. Meaning this, it functions, catch this, it functions in the perfection in which it was intended to function. The blood of Jesus covers that area and it functions with the perfection in which it was intended to function. Amen. The blood of Jesus redeems and reconciled everything. Everything. The blood of Jesus redeems and reconciled everything. Amen. 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 Hey, guys, you have your communion there. Won't you take that out? You can peel back the first layer on the top. And if you didn't get a communion, just raise your hand. Our ushers are going to walk around and pass those out to anyone that didn't get the communion elements right here in front. Awesome. So once you have the top layer off, just hold that in your hand. Just hold that in your hand. I want us to just focus our mind on the perfect body of our Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect life. He didn't carry any sickness. He didn't carry any disease. He was perfect, without blemish. It's the perfect body of Jesus that gives us life in our bodies. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance for me." Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your body that was broken for us. Your word says that by your stripes we are healed. God, and even more than that, we discern that your body was perfect. You were the perfect, spotless lamb that was given for us. I thank you for healing in our bodies tonight. I thank you for peace in our minds through your body, Jesus. Thank you that your body was enough for us and is enough, and that you sustain us. Thank you for your body that was broken for us. Let's take this together. Just peel back the layer of your juice there. Aren't you thankful for the blood of Jesus that was shed for us on that cross? Nothing was wasted. Nothing held back. Nothing lacking. I speak that over every person in this room tonight. Nothing lacking. You have no lack in you. By the blood of Jesus, I speak the blood of Jesus on every area of your life that has been crooked, that has been out of order. In Jesus, the blood of Jesus, it reconciles all things, making function perfectly. The way it was meant to function. The blood of Jesus. It reconciles us to the Father. The blood of Jesus. This was our forgiveness. It was enough. There's no credit outstanding. He paid it all. He paid it all. It's not consciousness of sin. Thank you, Jesus, that it's forgiven. That you wiped it clean. Thank you, Jesus, that we are standing in wholeness. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Jesus, thank you for shedding your blood on the cross. Father, thank you for loving us so much that you sent your one and only Son. Your word says that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins, not holding our sins against us, God. Your word says that as far as the east is from the west, so far are our sins from us. Thank you for forgiveness tonight. Thank you for the new covenant of your grace. God, that it's grace on top of grace on top of grace. Grace in all areas of our lives tonight. We thank you for your blood that was shed for our forgiveness. In Jesus' name, let's take the cup. Would you guys stand with me?